Hello, one and all, to another week here at the Damage Report. I'm John Arola. Very lucky to be joined by Francesca Ferrantini. Francesca, how's it going?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Francesca, how is your Valentine's Day going?
Oh, it's fine. I mean, so far, it's good. If I'm not showered in, you know, if I don't get enough like little letters stuffed into my homemade Valentine's Day box, shoebox, I'll be very sad.
You know? Is that a thing?
Yeah, in school, but we're not in school. True. So yeah.
It was weird that we were able to do that and that it was like encouraged. That is a little bit weird.
Oh anyway. Yeah, now it's all toxic masculinity. Ugh, they've canceled everything. Is that what you're trying to say, John?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Hello, audience. Welcome to this week. I hope that you had a good week and it was the Super Bowl and everything. It was good. I had an absolutely horrendous migraine throughout yesterday, which is a fun way to close out the weekend. I'm just gonna say to the audience, I'm in an absolutely horrible mood. So that happens. We are upfront with our audience about our struggles with mental health and wellness.
Yes.
And I am not feeling good.
Yes, King, lean in, do what you need to do, reasons. Get it out.
also, I'm on a new allergy medication. Which now many of you who don't do allergy medication might think, well, what does that have to do with anything? No, apparently a lot of them have psychological side effects. So I'm going to assume that that's not helping, but I'm in a horrendous mood. Oh, also the news, that's generally not gonna help the frame of mind. But anyway, we're gonna do what we are contractually obligated to do, which is a show. So Francesca, glad to have you here. Oh, let me say one thing before we jump in though. Francesca and I were both lucky enough to see a Netflix taping of the upcoming special by an awesome comedian, Cristela Alonso, and it was great. It was great. I don't know when it's gonna come out on Netflix, but when it does, you should definitely watch. I actually don't know what it's called either, but she's gonna have a special. It's gonna be great.
John screamed extra loud and just screamed Dragon Squad the whole time. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah, so if you hear someone screaming Dragon Squad, it might be me.
Yeah.
There were others doing it, but it might be me.
Yeah, weird how there were others doing it. Anyway, yeah,
I know. And they didn't recognize me, so it was weird. Actually, Francesca did get recognized at the event. Ooh, some big comedy fans were very excited to see Francesca.
I have fans too. yeah, it was really fun to see John in person. He was in a much better mood on Saturday, guys. I can attest.
I was actually. Anyway, with that, we're gonna talk about a whole bunch of stuff for a while. And then after that, we're gonna do our top 10 list, which is, by then I'll be in a good mood. We've got Francesca and I think the odds are very good. We're gonna be talking about our top 10 favorite things about the awesome series Cobra Kai. So that'll be going out to our tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube. So feel free to become one if you'd like to see that later on today. And along the way, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that would be great. With all that said, Francesca, are you ready to talk about the most serious, important, substantive things in the news?
That feels ironic, but yeah.
It feels semi-ironic. Okay. Well, you know, I'm gonna say what I say quite frequently these days, which is I would love to come to you with here are all the things the Biden administration is doing. I looked. There's nothing. There's Ukraine, I guess. You wanna talk about that some more? No, aside from that, no, the world is hell. There's basically no prospects for it to ever become better. So we're left with this news. So with that said, happy Valentine's Day and let's talk about some stuff. We are fresh off the big game, which I'm calling it that because I think you can be sued if you use the actual term, not sure. Anyway, yesterday, not far from where we're filming was the big game. And during the big game, they have a big halftime show, which featured people like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, and 50 Cent, all performing together at SoFi Stadium. In the game that ended up with the Rams having won. Now, a lot of people have had a lot to say about this Super Bowl performance. Isn't it ironic that now we're the generation that they're doing like older throwback artists for? Like it's not the Rolling Stones. It's like, oh wait, that's what they're doing now with 50 Cent. But that's a lot of people to fit into 12 minutes too. A lot of people seem to really like it. Some though, not so much. So we're going to touch base with their fifis about this halftime show. Charlie Kirk got a lot of attention for tweeting, the NFL is now the league of sexual anarchy. this halftime show should not be allowed on television. Which, by the way, if there was a League of Sexual Anarchy, I would one, want to become a member, and two, definitely would not be allowed in. But that said, Francesca, it seems like a lot for what was a fairly mild halftime show.
It's just amazing to me that Charlie Kirk will take to Twitter to openly just reveal so much about his own sexual proclivity. Like, I am very backed up right now. Yes, the dry spell has lasted 4.5 years. Maybe I should lay off the carbs and the white supremacy, okay? Like, it's just, it's so funny when it's a perfect Ted Cruz tweet, because it's a little bit like, dunk on me, you know, like he just wants it from the internet, you know? Speaking of sexual anarchy, he wants it from the internet.
That's true. And yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, look, Charlie Kirk tweets that. And obviously he is, I think, understandably gonna get more attention than if Francesca and I sat down and thought deeply, took psychedelics to really delve into the deepest parts of our ideology and what we think about society, and we came up with the deepest thing that we could think of. It would not get 1% the attention as him just willingly opening himself up to being dunked on for being a ridiculous goober. That's just the way the internet works.
And I thought you were gonna say sexual anarchy. I was going a whole other place, and we just like took a lot of psychedelics.
Yeah,
and we just leaned. No. I was like, damn, you're going to have that kind of Valentine's Day, okay, John?
No, but maybe that's fine. But so he does this. And look, a couple important questions before we get on with the commentary. One, did he draft this tweet hours before the Super Bowl even? Like, did this have anything to do with what actually happened?
No, can we just understand that these were like five hip hop moguls, right? One R&B mogul, as in Mary J. Blige, the only person who was like a star who was wearing like short shorts. I mean, she was basically showing a lot of her legs. Maybe he had something to say about that. That was offensive. But if it were anyone else, I mean, usually it's like, it's Beyonce's being too sexual and political, right? It is Cardi B is being too sexual, even though Cardi B performs right after Dua Lipa and Dua Lipa is white and nothing gets said about it. It is really because the performers are black. Like, come on. If it had been the lead singer of Maroon 5, whose name I've like burned with a magnifying glass out of my brain. I've sort of like lobbed off that piece. Adam Levine. Adam Levine's tattooed, like, you know, buttery body, which honestly, like, wasn't doing it for me. It was just too corny. It was the most cringe of cringe. Then he would be like, that's all American.
Goal.
Like, he would have had no problem with that.
Anyway, yeah, perhaps that's true. Well, I mean, look. We can do all sorts of hypotheticals, but I mean, the cheerleaders were showing far more. They tended to be blondies, I noticed. But yeah, no, it was Mary J. Blige showed a little bit of ass cheek, and she's black. That is what it is. That's all it is. We're not going to pretend that that's not what it is. Now, and there's also obviously a huge amount of hypocrisy here, because people have found that apparently during the Super Bowl where Beyonce was performing, he had a tweet about it being fire, fire, fire. Like, that's the same, at least in terms of sexual anarchy, probably more sexual anarchy, but you were okay with it. Oh, was that not how you were getting your clout at that point? So anyway, that's all true. Everything that we just said is true. But also, here's something that we can't miss. Like, so much millionaire and billionaire money goes into trying to create an aura of a thing that isn't true about the right, that they're free thinking, that they're cool, that they're anything other than what they are, which is they're Bill O'Reilly. There is not an inch of difference between Charlie Kirk and Bill O'Reilly, or Ben Shapiro and Rush Limbaugh, or any of their new politicians and Newt Gingrich. It's all the same. It's all PR at the end of the day. This could have been a tweet sent out by Sean Hannity 30 years ago.
Yes.
And probably was at that point. It is actually the same thing. There is no independent right media, not in any way that means anything. They agree on all of the same policy goals. They use all of the same xenophobic, hateful tactics. And their approach to culture is as ridiculously old school Christian fash as it's ever been for any of these. It's all the same.
And it's almost heartwarming that it's the same. Like, it's a little bit heartwarming that this little dog and pony show continues to go and round and round and round the circus. And you're like, oh, there it is, you know, as the world moves on. It's just frustrating when our leadership isn't able to just completely like pop that balloon so easily and be like, you guys are all ridiculous. And yes, AOC, I know, had a tweet about it, but she's not in Democratic leadership. It is just so easy to be like, hey guys, QAnon is satanic panic 20 years later.
That's all it is.
Literally all it is, and it's still the culture war, a moral, sort of moralizing culture war to distract from the fact that you're not doing anything to actually help people in their daily lives. That's it, and you're making a killing off of it.
Yeah, you're 100. That is exactly the same. The Patriot Convoy is just it's the Tea Party. It's the Tea Party. That's all it is. It's all the same. They don't have any new tactics because they don't necessarily need to. They have the exact same goals and the same overwhelming monetary advantage. So they're just gonna use it again. But anyway, yeah, look, a lot of people had a lot of great responses. We're not gonna go through a ton of them. I just love Andrew Lawrence's reply to Charlie Kirk, which is just this screenshot from The Simpsons. It just, I don't actually believe that Charlie Kirk, as obviously lame as he actually is, was watching it and was like, no, turn off the TV, gotta find if anyone else is sick. Like, who thinks he was actually doing that? It would be bad to actually be this lame, but to be performatively this lame is even lamer. And that's what he's doing there. And for what, whether it's honest or whether it's feigned, AOC is totally right when she says, like I said, weirdos. That's the tweet that she sent out. And it's totally true. They are just a bunch of very, very weird people. And look, at some point I will actually write a book about right-wing masculinity because it's the most fascinating thing in the world. But yes, you can pretty much bottom-lined it as it's one part being terrified of unrestrained femininity and female sexuality, and then three parts blaming every one of the problems you've caused for yourself in your life on that. And also black people. That's really all it is at the end of the day. And Charlie Kirk gets that. He knows what he's selling and who he's selling it to, and so he's gonna keep selling it.
Yep. I'm surprised that no one made a thing of the lines in both Dre's song, like still not loving police, which is like the most benign line, like still not loving police. Like, who loves police? But then Kendrick Lamar's line, you know, that Fox News made a big thing about, that he then put in a later album, which is, and we hate Popo, wanna see us dead in the streets for show. Mm-hmm. And I think they bleeped out Popo, which was a weird, like, is that a slur now? Are we N-wording Popo? Cause I feel like that's kind of apples to oranges, but I am surprised that not enough was made of those two very explicitly anti-cop lyrics.
Well, it is shown up. Yeah. It might get a little bit into our next story, but they definitely had an issue with some of the content. Ben Shapiro has like tons of tweets freaking out about, again, what an artist put in a song he's freaking out about. But here's me and Francesco on the censorious left. We just want to cancel everything. Anyway, one other thing really fast, and acknowledging that technically these are two different humans, sort of. Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson, like they are among the more influential people on the right. So I would really love to know, and maybe they disagree. Maybe this is an actual disagreement in which Charlie Kirk gets to be the lamer of the two, I suppose. But so Mary J. Blige showing a tiny bit of ass cheek is sexual anarchy. Can't be allowed, ban it. Like 2 weeks ago, Tucker Carlson was doing a monologue that included, the green M&M, you will notice, is no longer wearing sexy boots. Now she's wearing sensible sneakers. Why the change? Well, according to M&Ms, we all win when we see more women in leading roles, because leading women do not wear sexy boots. Leading women wear frumpy shoes. The frumpier, the better. That's the rule.
Right?
You remember when for like solid 48 hours, he was incapable of having an erection because he was no longer turned on by cartoon candy? Like, so what, are we desexualizing everything and that's what's wrong with the left? Or are we uber sexualizing everything? Which is it? Like, what's the correct level of you being turned on for us to operate on under?
Dude, I mean, you're asking some deep questions. I realize this all sounds ridiculous, but it is very sad how much of our politics is determined by right wing fragile men's boners. I mean, honestly, the stock market is also very similar. It's just like it gets scared and it goes down and then it goes up and then there's confidence, but there's not confidence. The whole world, if you think about it through that lens, John, you and I could talk for many, many hours in our sexual anarchic explorations. I just want to say though, like,
put it that way. There go the rumors. Anyway,
let's give them something to talk about. The last thing I wanted to say was just very briefly, I just think it would have been really fun if there had been one sexy M&M plant in the Super Bowl halftime show. Doesn't have to be Mary J.
Great.
Doesn't have to be her, but like a few backup dancers being sexy M&M.
Like Left Shark, but an M&M. That's what we need. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're totally
but
right.
It's the Super Bowl.
But the Super Bowl, totally. Yeah. Isn't that where it was? I don't know. I don't know pop culture. I don't watch this stuff. Anyway, I avoided watching the Super Bowl entirely because I was afraid of being exposed to too much pro crypto talking points. And it turned out that was a good thing to be afraid of because it was everywhere. But you were totally right. Right wing performance anxiety is ruining America and it needs to stop. There are a lot of issues with me. My erection will never impact your life. Ever in any way, positive or negative, by the way. So don't get your hopes up either. Like it's never gonna have an effect on you. The right just can't leave it in their pants. Anyway, let's talk about some other stuff.
Got weird.
I made it weird.
You made it weird.
That is generally in our power dynamic how it works.
Move on.
I make
it along.
Okay. Take another psychedelic. Anyway, there are some on the right who seems to have enjoyed the Super Bowl and the halftime show. And we're gonna have to give some credit. Don't worry, we'll work to find a way to take it away. And I'm sure we'll get there. Some credit to Candace Owens, who amidst many right wingers who were complaining and crying and breaking down over what was going on in the halftime show, tweeted, "This is an excellent Super Bowl halftime performance. Undeniable hip hop and R&B excellence." That is a very reasonable thing to say. And at that point, at least, that was all she said. She didn't undercut it in some way. She didn't try to score points racially with the right or anything. Like, I don't know. We're gonna pivot in a sec. But Francesca, she was just being reasonable. I am actually, honestly, never prepared for when they just say a normal thing because so much of their social media activity is so purposefully, intentionally, hyperbolically insane.
Yeah, she slipped up. We caught her slipping, meaning she didn't use this as an opportunity to hit against the left, to hit against Black Americans, who she loves to throw under the bus. She just kind of said what she felt and probably who she used to be before she decided to become a right wing grifter. Remember Candace Owens actually did sue for racial discrimination way back in the day in her high school. But never talks about that. She understands racism and systemic racism exists. She's experienced it herself and she likes rap music. And she just slipped up. We caught her slipping, which I think is really funny because you're like, oh yeah, you're a human who grew up, you're probably a millennial. You really like Dr. Dre and Snoop, like we all do, and you grew up listening to him. And hell yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like maybe we would disagree as to whether it's slipping or is this her exercising actual like autonomy and freedom from the very, very, very carefully crafted brand that she has designed to profit in this media sphere. I don't know. I like at least the idea that these people do have something inside that exists that is real and true, that like that Tommy Lauren can have a thought that didn't go through 30 filters of will this increase my clout and money.
Totally.
I just like that idea. But anyway, the reason generally that they are so careful with what they say is because they have been conditioned to be. They say a certain sort of thing, people clap for them. They say another sort of thing and people jeer at them. And so that is what Candace Owens got. We're not going to show some of the tweets I could have because we don't like to show racial slurs on air. But some of them include worst ever. And like usual, the NFL has to push the diversity crap, but yet there was no diversity. Maybe a rock musician and a hip hop artist, each one doing a performance. Then let the crowd decide who gets the biggest cheer. Why does everything have to be a competition, by the way? Michael
Lol,
says,
"Let's just—I'm sorry—just diversity in the NFL. But if like there was a black quarterback, they'd be like, you know, they can't actually be quarterbacks. If there's a black manager, shut up about NFL diversity.
It's no diversity. Like that's no, but like Robert M, you know what you're doing. That's not what diversity, you know that. Are we gonna have to do this? Do we have to go through this? That's not how it works. You don't need to have diversity in every single atom, every quark, however tightly you cut it. Okay, sure. If you look back someday and the last 50 Super Bowl performances have all been Dr. Dre, then okay, you can make some sort of case, but that is not how diversity actually
exactly
works. Would you like to run the numbers racially on performances of the last 50 years in the Super Bowl? I don't think you do. Anyway, Michael is worried that the NFL has dismissed 70% of America with the halftime debacle. What are you talking? I don't think I've ever liked one of the, other than maybe Beyonce and kind of Lady Gaga, I don't think I've ever liked anyone who performed at the Super Bowl. When am I gonna be represented? Candace, but please tell me that you're kidding. That was really ghetto. NFL, NBC, Pepsi showed zero diversity. Jesus.
Ooh. There was a white rapper on stage. Are we ignoring Eminem? I feel like you're erasing him.
This is Eminem erasure and I will not stand for it.
Yeah.
The NFL produced a halftime show featuring music that is the anthem for sexual assault, promiscuity, and violence against law enforcement. And I want to be very clear, as much as I disagree with many of these people, I do agree that the NFL halftime show is not the proper venue for glorifying sexual assault, promiscuity, and violence against law enforcement. It is Republican presidential campaigns. That is where you are supposed to glorify those things. Insurrections in January are when you're supposed to be glorifying violence against cops. Any single comment about how awesome Donald Trump and his sexual history is, that is when you're supposed to be glorifying sexual assault and promiscuity. That's the proper venue, not a sporting event, Francesca.
Yeah. These
are different worlds, let's not mix them up.
Save it for the campaign trail. It doesn't matter who would have, it does not matter who. The only thing that the right would have liked, yes, is if a bunch of green M&Ms showed their entire butt. Like that's it. There's like, then it would have been like, you know, actually this is really representative. Like, and even then they would
have been seen.
There's a lot of diversity. Like, I don't know, just like Dr. Seuss characters, but only the racist ones, you know, just like the quote unquote Chinamen in little hats. Like, what would they have wanted, you know?
That show's got crack. Anyway, it closes with this. Candace Owens responded apparently to many of the, like we showed you ones we could get away with on a live broadcast. There was a lot of racism, the N word, all sorts of things. And the thing is, like, you can get trolled and attacked on social media. That happens constantly. But generally, that should be coming from people who don't agree with you. Like, these people don't agree with her on this, but that is her audience. That's her fan base. Like, how can you look out at that and not think, wait, have I been going down the wrong path for a while, maybe? Why do these people generally love me if this is how they think? But anyway, she eventually put up a comment. I loved Luke Combs singing country music at halftime during the Thanksgiving Cowboys game. I also happen to love Dre, Mary J, and Kendrick Lamar tonight. I grew up loving both hip hop and country. Politics doesn't dictate who I am and what I like. Well, that last bit is not remotely true. Almost always it does. But in this particular case, so far, she has not ruined it. We'll see. We know when the right gets strong enough pushback for saying a reasonable thing, they usually crumble eventually. Any other thoughts, Francesca?
I mean, I wonder what she thinks about Lil Nas X. I know Old Town Road, a lot of conservatives were like, yes, it's our time. It's Old Town Road. I love this. And then he came out with another album where he is 100% naked on the cover and was grinding on the devil and leans into the fact that he's gay and black and embraces it fully.
Yeah.
I wonder how they feel. I just love that turnaround. Anywho, I'm done.
Yeah, no, that was an amazing evolution. And if you're Lil Nas X, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you can't stay naked because that's a League of Sexual Anarchy, but you can't cover up because then you're giving in. You're basically a green M&M. What are you supposed to do if your ass is out? I don't know. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, lots more to talk about after this. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We got a lot to talk about. And by the way, in the last half hour of our show, we're gonna do a little bit of an update. I challenged Dan Bongiorno to do something. We're gonna check in to see if he had the stones to do it. And from the developing smile on my face, I think you can see where this is going. But we're gonna check in with that at the end of the show, so don't miss that. But first, this. Melania Trump is a big charity person these days. She had her weird eye NFT hat sale thing. And she also has a high tea with Melania Trump charity event that she's going to be doing. Maybe. And maybe legally, it's not clear at this point. She's due to appear at a high tea event in April in Naples, Florida, which organizers say will, quote, benefit fostering the future, a Be Best initiative, which gives computer science scholarships to those aging out of the foster care system, which if you just focus on that part of it, that sounds awesome. I think that sounds like a great thing to do charity for. Now, if you'd like to go to this high tea, regular tickets cost $3,000. Limited VIP tickets cost $50,000.
Lord.
It's unclear what percentage of the proceeds will go to charity. Oops, they just forgot to make clear about that. It's not because it's a small amount or anything, but that actually is not the big issue with this, Francesca. According to the New York Times, no charity with the name Fostering the Future or Be Best is registered in Florida. And Florida charity laws require any organization soliciting donations in the state to be registered. So as of right now, at least, they don't seem to have any legal ability to be raising massive quantities of money to sip some bad tea with the former first lady.
I don't care about the children. Oh my God, my Melania's off. Oh, it's been so long.
It used to be pretty good.
Oh.
We'll get there. Francesca,
my husband,
be best.
I find it with my husband. And my husband says that the children are terrible people and I hate them. I always get hate whenever I try to imitate Melania because they're like, yeah, just don't make fun of her accent. No, fools. We're going to make fun of Melania forever.
And by the way, we make fun of people we like too. We can mix it up.
Sure, I make fun of Greta all the time.
Yeah,
she's my muse. I love her. It's a it's a form of love. Pickup artistry, according to Francesca Fiorentini. No, this is on brand. There is not going to be any foster children receiving any kind of computer science money. No, that is, if anyone, it's going to be like Barron is going to get like a new MacBook. And they'll be like, but we disowned him and then we readopted him. We're like fostering him. Like that's all that's going to happen with that money. They are broke, okay? The Trump family is not in a good way. They need this money. She needs this money. I mean, who knows? Can you imagine the legal BS that goes on between husband and wife Trump? Just like between Melania and Donald? My God. So she needs legal funds. There's gonna be, you know, there's a coming divorce, I'm sure of it, if he doesn't get reelected, in which case she's bound for life.
No, they're still together. They're still together. I mean, by together, I mean legally together. I doubt that they've been within miles of each other for some time, but they're still together. She could have separated. He's not the president anymore. Like, she could have peaced out. Anyway, I disagree with you slightly. I think that there is a good chance that some kids will get this money, but only because it's being covered. So, spoiler alert, I was really hesitant to even cover this because it feels like the sort of thing where, I don't know, maybe the paperwork was later. So I give too much goodwill to people who've never once done anything to earn it. But I do think that if we talk about this, we can twist their arm into actually giving some of this money to kids. I think that there is a chance of that at least. So I'm hoping to help use this platform so that some foster kids could get a little bit of money from this insane fundraiser.
You're gonna try and shame Melania's Be Best Foundation. They couldn't
charity.
Couldn't even bother to think of a good name for their charity. Be Best. We're an anti-bullying organization. Hey, Be Best. You
you're
stupid
not good
meeb.
Enough.
you not use underperforming mediocre loser. Be best. And then the bullies won't actually come after you. Durr. Like, come on. You're not gonna, these guys are beyond shame. No, the high tea will go forward. It's a perfect,
wrong.
it's a perfect shell company and shell game. And it is funny to see that Melania's doing it, because I think Trump's have been, I mean, like the Trump family organization's been burned on the whole nonprofit situation. Mm-hmm. So it is fun to see new Trumps trying to do the same thing.
Totally. What is Barron's first big scandal gonna be someday when he realizes that he too can like bilk those followers of his family? Anyway,
it involves crypto. We obviously know that.
Oh my god, it totally will. Oh geez. Now Melania has declined to comment, but later tweeted, "Everything has been done lawfully, and all documents are in the works." Well, but like.
These honest reporting at it again. Everything has been done lawfully. Sorry.
No, continue.
I can't. It is not on the screen anymore. We're working with Bradley Impact Fund, a donor advised fund to select charities that will receive the donations to foster children.
That's not bad. You know, for a long time, I've thought that Cecily Strong had the best. I think we might have to do a comparison. Anyway, it's possible. I try to be understanding, needlessly, pointlessly, self-destructively so. That said, you didn't just move to Florida. Like, you've had BeBest. Why don't you have it registered in the state that you've been living in now for some time?
Can
that
I just say,
weird.
As I read that, I realized there was actual substance in what I was reading. The Bradley Foundation is a notoriously far-right foundation that gives to things like anti-union causes, trying to privatize public schools, defunding public schools in place of charter schools. Bradley Foundation is bad news. So if you're partnering with them, you can be sure, even if that money is going to foster kids, it's probably going to defund the foster care system and replace it with something like the DeVos family dreamed up.
Mm-hmm, maybe. By the way, I can't tell which producer put though. Marissa said this is a modern day Scott's Tots. Yeah, it's just gonna end up with them buying a couple of laptop batteries for some kids. That's all it's gonna be in the end. Anyway, I hope that they actually raise some money. In the end, though, it's 100% what you said. They're grifters, man. They're just doing this to make a couple $100,000. These are billionaires doing ridiculous things to make $100,000 or whatever. Anyway, oh, by the way, I do like the idea though of a high T fundraiser. Like, I know that Gary Chambers has already raised like $600,000, but he should do a high T. Get a little bit of tea, as Rolling Stone says, light up a massive blunt, high T with the Senate, a possible Senate member later on. Let's jump into something a little bit less funny. Let's jump into this.
If 30 to 40% could agree that this was legitimate tyranny and it needed to be thrown off, they need to have sufficient power without asking for extra permission. It should be right there and completely available to them in their living room in order to affect.
Okay, so that is Representative Thomas Massie, who seems to pop up once every month or so for some explicitly pro-gun, pro-political violence, weird fashy memes and stuff like that. He's saying there that if 30 to 40% of this country agree that there's a tyranny, we need to have them have the ability, without any extra planning or prep or purchasing, to overthrow the US government. So there cannot be any limits on any sort of military hardware that would make it so that one third of the country deciding they've had enough, that they can just go and murder the federal government. He is a sitting member of that government. And I have a feeling, I don't know, to some extent I'm speculating, I'm speaking for him, that this would not extend to 30% of leftists, Antifa people deciding that it's time to overthrow everything. This is just a sop to his base. They love the idea of eventually being able to gun down the National Guard, like murder Congress. Like every once in a while, this is how you build clout on the right now. Is implying that that is acceptable and that trying to stop that from happening is somehow wrong.
They're already doing it. I mean, and these are the same people in the same breath who say Blue Lives Matter, and yet you've got the Boogaloo Boys who've absolutely been inspired by, you know, statements like this, who are killing cops, who are killing National Guard, who are killing service members. What the hell are we talking about anymore? Like, it is, yeah, you're absolutely right. And the problem is like, we're not actually taking this seriously. who knows? Maybe DOJ since January 6th, it's been more than just a select committee. And there's a whole lot of stuff that's been going on. But I'm like, we just found out a week ago that the CIA currently spies on American citizens. And it's like, oh, dude, remember that coup? Could you have like stopped that then? Oh, no, you just, you'd make coups. You don't. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, they're former CIA who are in the insurrection. Tight, tight, tight. Like, even if 30 to 40% of armed right wingers were to actually rise up, like there's part of my brain that was like, yeah, I would love to see a Biden administration actually pull out the full force of the military. And then I'm like, we wouldn't do that.
Well, he wouldn't. And I wouldn't want to see that. No, I'm not interested in this?
He wouldn't do it because if they were white, nobody would do it. If they were black or brown or wanted, you know, fighting for economic rights, there would be tanks. So, but anywho, you can just easily say this and there's no consequences.
No, not at all. And look, there's some reason to believe that what you said is true. Like, you know, well, we see videos of, you know, people like literally laying in their beds getting shot. Whereas, you know, when the militias were doing standoffs with federal agents, they were literally just pointing rifles at them for hours and hours. And the cops never felt like they had to do anything about that. So yeah, the important thing is that I personally think that political violence is bad and we should work for a system where it's not encouraged. But the incentives in terms of fundraising and social media clout seeming to be an up and comer in the party, on the right, the incentives are pointing in all the wrong directions. So is it any surprise that people like Marjorie Greene consistently make comments like this and pose with guns, that Madison Cawthorn is constantly telling people that they might need Second Amendment solutions and all that? They have been incentivized by right wing media and the right wing base to encourage violence, and so they do it. And it is a vicious cycle that is not moving us in a good direction. He's a member of Congress. He should know that more than anyone. But anyway, let's go to some of his recent comments. Over 70% of Americans who died with COVID died on Medicare, and some people want Medicare for all. I read that one. It's not about political violence. I just want you to know what sort of intellectual firepower he's bringing to this particular fight. He put out this quote saying, "You mustn't question Fauci, for he is science. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize." Which, by the way, it's not a Voltaire thing. It's experts say that they can trace it back to Kevin Alfred Strom, an American white nationalist. But again, any quote should be good or bad regardless of who actually said it. And how many stupid people love this quote? Like, everybody can criticize anyone. Some people like some, it's not nearly as deep as people think, but shallow people love stuff like this. Anyway, like, you can criticize Fauci. We criticize Fauci. We criticize Biden. It's such a stupid thing to say.
I mean, it is the most white supremacist saying ever. Like, it does make sense. And it matters that it can be traced to a leader of the National Vanguard or whatever. Like, because he's basically talking about Jewish Americans and African Americans. That's what he's saying. He's saying PC culture is the real thing that is like the problem. The fact that I'm not allowed to say the N-word or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Voltaire, guys, Voltaire.
Voltaire. By the way, Thomas Massey, criticize Trump. Come on, go ahead. Go criticize, see what's happened to people in your party who have done that. I guess he rules over you. I guess it's tyranny, since if you criticize him, you'll be run out of your party. Again, it's just shallow people love stuff like this. Anyway, there's not going to be any consequences. You could encourage this. You can maintain the fiction that 30% of the country with a random assortment of small arms is going to be able to take over the government. We are led by stupid opportunistic grifters. That's all it is.
And okay, they will be hiding in their bunkers if anything comes to pass. They will not be on the front lines with all the rubes that they've convinced to pick up arms against the government, which, by the way, is illegal if you are sitting in government. Constitutionally, you're not allowed to aid or abet or encourage any kind of insurrection against the US government. Funny how we continue to forget that. But they'll just be like Trump. They'll be like Trump. They'll be whisked away to the safe room as people fight their stupid civil war for them.
Yeah, it's all going to be, we're going to march to the Capitol and I'm going to be marching with you. Peace. That's all it's going to be.
Keep going. You're doing great.
I'm watching on TV, loving it.
I'll be right there. Just gotta grab a thing in the Amy.
Okay, we're gonna take our second break. Everyone, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's close out this first hour right. Today is a multi-part holiday. Not only is it Valentine's Day, which you almost certainly know about, but you might not know that it's also a Day Without Immigrants, which is a periodic activist organizing movement to remind people of the contributions, both in terms of labor as well as spending power, that immigrants make in America. So Valentine's Day has been strategically selected as it's a day where an abundance of consumer spending occurs through labor that is often carried out by immigrants. A lot of money is spent specifically on this day, so it really casts a spotlight on that. And I wanted to give you some of the perspectives on this, including from people who are helping to organize. So first we have comments from Carlos Eduardo Espina, who is an organizer and also a very popular TikToker who's been encouraging people to participate in this and is, as we speak right now, at one of these protests. Says the idea is a day without immigrants, which means immigrants or anyone who supports the immigrant community doesn't go to work, doesn't spend, and doesn't send their children to school to support and raise awareness that immigrants are here and we're very upset with the situation, the promises that aren't being kept. So I can tell you there are multiple protests here in LA. Also, 2,600 businesses across the US have pledged to close for the day in solidarity with the protest. So really fast, we're always put in kind of a difficult situation with these sorts of things, because obviously we do want to show solidarity for the community, but we also want to cover the event. So we're doing that, you know, have whatever perspective on that choice that you want. But Francesca, what do you make of this?
You mean because we're working?
I mean, we are technically working. Ooh. We're trying to make sure that people know about this. We've had to do that before sometimes. It's difficult.
I think the media gets a pass. If we were in something else, I would say it'd be different. I think it's excellent. We need this. I think that especially given the fact that we are a year into the Biden administration, over a year, and the promises around immigration have not come to fruition. And all those promises are rolling back Trump era draconian laws that do things like the Remain in Mexico laws that are incredibly harsh and are causing, I mean, the immigrants who are in Mexico or at the Mexico-Guatemalan border are facing incredible violence and precarity, to say nothing of those who are waiting on the Mexico side of the US-Mexican border.
Yeah.
To things like Title 42, again, a Trump era regulation that says because of the pandemic, we do not accept asylum seekers. Does that even validate us to be part of like the United Nations at this point? That is illegal by international law to not accept asylum seekers. So here we are a year in, and there don't appear to be plans to do anything to reverse that from the Biden administration. Instead, actually, people in the administration have been iced out. There was a New Yorker piece a few weeks ago about a young woman trying to make change inside the administration, was tapped to do so and had been vilified because she was Latina, saying, "Oh yeah, you're just into this issue too much because you're Latina, you're a child of immigrants." So let's remember the political failure here, and to say nothing of a time of essential workers, a time of supposedly valuing all that's been done in the pandemic, and then not doing anything for a pathway to citizenship, not doing anything in terms of supporting labor rights. So anyway, yeah. I love it. I want to see more of it. And everyone definitely use the hashtag, try and not buy anything. Try and understand like where it is that all of these goods, all the things, all the people selling roses on the street, like all of that, that economy that goes unrecognized.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a very good chance that you might have a protest happening in your city. At least 15 cities are doing this. It's happening outside of the White House as well. I mean, these things are happening right now, so you might have to run, but that's the actual organized protest. You can also take part in other ways as well. Let's see. Carlos went on to say, this is a movement that arose from essentially the frustration of thousands, possibly millions of immigrants in the country who are tired of the lies, tired of the false promises and nothing being done on the topic of immigration. I was someone who really used my platform in 2020 to support Joe Biden. All 2021 happened and nothing happened. We waited patiently and no progress was made. Everything remained the same. So look, it is possible that if Biden were to actually try to make a big deal out of this, it would just end up being killed in the same way that everything else has. but he can at least do that. He can try as hard as he can, and I haven't really seen it. Not even to the sort of light extent that I've seen some advocacy for like a voting bill and those sorts of things. Yeah. But anyway, I want to give you some numbers. Immigrant-led families in the US possessed about $1.3 trillion in spending power back in 2019. They paid about 331, I believe that's a million, or that might be billion in federal taxes, and 162 billion, oh yes, billion, in state and local taxes. So that's a huge amount of money. And undocumented families paid about 19 billion in federal taxes and nearly 12 billion in state and local taxes back in 2019. So remember that when you hear lies about taxation and social services and all that for the undocumented. We have very little time. We're gonna jump into one more story. We're gonna try to give you some good news. We're trying to do that when we can. Okay. There are a number of encouraging signs when it comes to the way that those in the US view unions, the labor movement, all of that. Actually, between 2019 and 2021, so just the last couple of years, which of course has been during the pandemic, the overall percentage of US union members has stayed flat. So that's not great news, but the percentage of workers aged 25 to 34 who are union members rose from 8.8% to 9.4%, around 68,000 workers. So that number, the younger workers, is going up. There are more unionization attempts as well. In January, there were 170 petitions filed for union elections with the NLRB. That was more than double the 83 filed in the previous January. And a Gallup poll from last fall showed that 68% of Americans support labor unions, the highest approval rating since 1965, when Gallup reported 71% of the US supported unions. And it's possible that that's going up as a result of a lot of really high profile attempts to unionize at corporations, making clear the need for not only increased pay, but also protections during this dangerous time. Francesca, what do you think?
No, it's huge. I mean, and this is exactly, and young folks understand, power concedes nothing without a demand. There is nobody looking out for the rights of workers, and you will get screwed over. Many have, unless you actually unionize and you fight for a raise, you fight for time off, all the things that folks deserve. And this happens on every level. It's not just, you know, Starbucks workers. It also needs to happen, you know, on a media level. I mean, to be frank with you, there's a lot of folks, especially working on online platforms or writers, they're not part of unions. They're actually kind of iced out of places like the WGA. So we're experiencing a renaissance, as I like to say. And I do hope that we overturn some of these right to work laws that I know really have a stranglehold on people's ability to unionize. And you know, Biden can do a lot. Biden doesn't even have to, it's not even a hot button issue. So I'm just like, can we pass the PRO Act, please? Mm-hmm.
No, that's another thing that they value the filibuster more than, unfortunately, I mean, they would love to do it. They would honestly, it kills them to not be able to do it, but they would rather have a filibuster than to do that. Yeah, yeah, and there's other stuff that he could do, obviously, with executive orders, executive actions, all that. But yeah, there's gonna be a lot of work that's required to get like the labor movement to where it needs to be. For historic purposes, US union membership peaked back in 1954. At that point, slightly more than one out of three workers belonged to unions. By last year, it had fallen to 10.3%. Oof. So very, very small percent. And why wouldn't it? First of all, like, this is not to say that every union is awesome, whether for their workers or for society at large. We have tons of issues, obviously, with police unions. Clearly, they can lead to some bad things. But a lot of people have grown up in an environment where it is just expected that most of what you hear about unions is gonna be negative. It's gonna be derogatory, if you hear anything at all. Right. And so it's another one of the reasons why I think it's so important that you've seen attempts at places like Amazon, at Starbucks, and that thankfully some people are actually covering this. You have to have a countering to that negative anti-union propaganda that people have heard for literally decades.
And it's American as apple pie, but we've erased our union history. We've erased the radical history that gave us things like the weekend and a 40-hour work week, which we should now be going for 35 or 30, because the ruling class is afraid of our own American history. So let's not forget that it is part of our legacy and we should continue it.
I agree. Okay, everybody, that is unfortunately all the time we're gonna have for those of you watching on our linear platforms. But if you're on the members app or on Twitch, or on YouTube. There's a lot that we still have to talk about, including what's up with white women. We've got some polling that we need to dig into. A new study on what can happen to you after you've had COVID. It's kind of scary. And we're going to check in on the Dan Bongino challenge that I issued. Did he make good on it? Find out after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.